Listen. Can you hear it? A roaring hiss of falling grains of sand. In a bright candlelit room, a shelf upon shelf of hourglasses, one for every living person, pouring their contents from the future into the past. Here comes the owner of the room, stalking along the shelves with a preoccupied air. His name is Death. He finds an hourglass that seems to satisfy him. He holds the hourglass so that the light glints off it, stares at the little point of reflected brilliance, and in it he sees the whole of Discworld.
Yes.
He sees a mountain range. He sees a particular hillside. He sees a field. He sees a boy running. He watches. He speaks.
Mort.
Mort by Terry Pratchett, dramatised by Robin Brooks, Part 1.
Death's particular sphere of operations is, well, not a sphere at all, actually, but the Discworld, which is flat, and which rides on the backs of four giant elephants who stand on the shell of the enormous star turtle Great Achuin. Sculling through the deeps of space, his mighty carapace scarred by comets and pitted by meteors. The Discworld turns slowly under its orbiting sun, bounded by a waterfall that cascades endlessly into space. At the centre of the blue-green disc is the great mountain range called the Ramtops. The Ramtops have their own peculiar weather and are the home of old wild magic. Mort's family farm the steep hillsides here. Mort's father is a grower of rhiannuals.
Now then, Lazak.
Now then, Hamish.
Go on, shoo!
I set Mort to scaring crows.
Shoo! Go on!
They don't seem to pay much mind.
Shoo!
Rhiannuals are plants that grow backwards in time. You sowed the seed this year, and they grow last year.
Aye! Go on!
His heart's in the right place.
Of course. And he's not stupid. Always thinking.
Thinks a bit too much.
Go on!
Why don't you set him as apprentice?
Why won't you fly away?
Rhiannual growers tend to be big, serious men, much given to close examination of the calendar. An ordinary farmer who neglects to sow his crop will lose his harvest, but a rhiannual grower will disturb the entire fabric of causality.
I heard there was a place going for an apprentice upon your farm.
No. Sorry. Got one in.
Oh, when was that then?
Yesterday. All signed and sealed. Sorry. Look, I got nothing against your Mort. He thinks too much, that's all. He's as nice a boy as you could wish to meet. He's just...
Right, that's it.
Just...
Move. Okay. You stay there.
Just that he couldn't find his arse with both hands.
And so it was that on Hogswatch Eve, Mort and his father walked down from the mountains for the Sheepridge hiring fair. In the market square, men stand in ragged lines, waiting for employment. Many sport little symbols in their hats to tell their trade. Shepherds wear a wisp of wool, carters a hank of horsehair, interior decorators a strip of bijou Hessian wall covering, and so on.
You just go and stand over there with that lot, and someone will come and offer you an apprenticeship, if they decide they like the look of you.
How did he do that?
Well, they'll count your teeth and that, make sure your feet are all right. Oh, don't let on about being able to read. It unsettles people.
And then what?
Then you go and learn a trade.
What trade?
I don't know.
But what happens if no one comes to apprentice me?
I expect you just wait till the end of the fair.
When's that?
I don't know. Midnight.
All right.
Darkness falls. One by one, Mort's fellow hopefuls have trooped away. The last of them, hired by Sheepridge's licensed beggar several hours ago, Mort stands alone.
Son?
What?
Do you fancy a meat pie?
No.
He's selling them cheap.
No.
Okay.
Midnight approaches.
Well, that's it then. Time's up. You'd better find somewhere to sleep. Come on.
It's not midnight until the last stroke.
black cloak billowing. His skull face, with its permanent grin gleaming under the dark hood, and inside the empty eye sockets, two tiny blue stars like windows looking across gulfs of space, as he stalks over the icy cobbles towards...
Oh, bugger.
Are you all right?
Well, they should put something down. These cobbles are a death trap. Help me up, will you?
Sorry. Are you okay?
I'll survive.
This is my father, Dad. Dad? What have you done to him?
Don't worry about your father. I have merely put you and I outside time for a moment. Your father will not see or hear anything that disturbs him. It is for you I have come.
Me?
You are seeking employment?
Oh, yes. You mean you... You want an apprentice?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Didn't see you there. Sorry. Miles away.
I was offering your son a position.
Oh, what was that exactly?
Ushering souls into the next world.
Is it an established business?
I have been going for some time, yes.
Good, good. Very good. What did you say your name was?
Death.
Dad?
Can't say I recognise the firm exactly. Where are you based?
From the uttermost depths of the sea to the heights where even the eagle may not go. Where the first primal call was, there was I also. Where man is, there am I. When the last life crawls under freezing stars, there will I be.
You get about a bit then,
Dad.
Do not concern yourself, boy. What your father sees and hears is not what you see and hear.
Undertaker, I get it. Well, it's not exactly what I had in mind.
But your death, you go around killing people.
I killed? Certainly not. People get killed, but that's their business. I just take over from then on. It'd be a bit bloody stupid if people got killed without dying, wouldn't it? Think about it.
Well...
Take your time.
Dad?
I don't know. What do you think? There's always a steady demand. Meet interesting people, bury them.
Dad, it's weird. Horrible. But I think if I turned it down, I might regret it. It's interesting.
Well...
Do I have to be dead?
Being dead is not compulsory.
I think I'd like to try it.
Then we will leave now.
Oh, righto. Well, son, I hope you'll be able to pop back and see us soon.
That might not be a good idea.
Oh, then I'll just have a last word with me boy, if you don't mind, sir.
Of course. I will see to my horse.
Thank you. Son.
What?
Yeah, sometimes it's not unknown for the apprentice to inherit the master's business.
What?
If he earns his master's confidence, and if there's any daughters in the house.
What?
Many a keen young man owes his advancement to his nuptials.
Dad.
Yes?
What's nuptials?
Oh, for goodness sake, if you're ever going to amount to anything, you're going to have to...
I'd better be going.
Goodbye, Mort.
Goodbye, Dad.
Pop up behind me.
He's a good lad. He's just a bit dreamy. But we were all young once, eh?
No, I don't think so.
Goodbye, son.
Goodbye, Dad!
Goodbye!
Death reins in his horse. It treads the air. High above the great circular panorama of the disc, a glow rises from the rim of the disc. Vast streamers of light shimmer and glint great golden walls surrounding the world.
That's beautiful! Is it like this every night?
Every night.
I never realized. Does anyone know about it?
Me, you, the gods. Good, isn't it?
Yes.
Death leans over the pommel of his saddle and looks down at all the kingdoms of the world.
I don't know about you, but I could murder a caddy. pint of lager and a chicken korma for the boy.
Chicken korma. Very good, sir.
People don't seem to really see you.
No.
Is it magic?
No.
You do something to their minds.
No. They do it all themselves. They could see me, but they simply won't allow themselves to. Until their time comes, of course. Wizards can see me, and cats, but your average human, never.
Although it is well after midnight, the city of Ankh-Morpork is roaring with life. As full of activity, bustle, and sheer exuberant business as a dead dog on a termite mound. There are flares, jugglers, hucksters, and a lot of friendly young ladies who don't seem to be able to afford many clothes.
Delicious. I think that should cover it.
How'd you get all those coins?
In pairs. Come, boy.
I've just had this weird dream. I dreamt that I met Death, and I had a meal with him, and I was going to be his apprentice, and he bought me some clothes, and he took me on the back of his big white horse right out of the world until we came to this weird house where everything was black. And I went to bed in this huge room with black carpets and black sheets and black walls and... Oh, my God.
You mustn't go in there, boy.
Who are you? Ow! What'd you do that for?
To see if you were real. I thought you might be dead. What's your name, boy?
Mort. Short for Mortimer. Why did you think I might be dead?
You don't look particularly alive. I shall call you boy. You may call me Miss Isabel. Father told me you ought to have something to eat. Follow me. Albert! Another one for breakfast.
Very good, Miss Isabel.
I must say that with the whole disc to choose from, I think Father could have done rather better than you. I suppose you'll just have to do.
Another bowl of porridge, Miss Isabel?
No, thank you.
She likes her porridge.
So I see.
Egg and bacon.
Please. Excuse me, but where am I exactly?
Don't you know? This is a house of death. Mushrooms?
No, thanks. But...
He brought you here last night. Don't you remember?
Yes, but bacon and eggs, it doesn't seem very...
I've got some black pudding, if you like.
No, I mean, does he eat cooked breakfast?
Not as a regular thing, no.
He had a curry last night.
That was for your benefit, lad. A bit of corporate entertainment. Normally, I just cook for myself and a young lady.
Your daughter?
Mine? No, she's his.
His?
Oh, looks like he wants to see you. He's in the study.
Enter. Yes?
Mort, sir. Your apprentice?
Oh, yes. Well, boy, are you willing to learn the uttermost secrets of time and space?
I think so, sir.
Good. The stable's around the back. You'll find a shovel just inside the door.
Sir?
Albert has a compost heap at the bottom of the garden, and there's a wheelbarrow somewhere. All right?
Yes, sir.
Although Death is, as he would say, an anthropomorphic personification, his horses are always flesh and blood beasts from the finest stock and very well fed.
Oh, yes, thanks very much.
Are you a servant?
No, I'm an apprentice.
Albert says you can't be an apprentice because apprentices become masters and you can't have more than one death. So you're just a servant and you have to do what I say. Did you hear what I said? Have you lost your tongue, boy?
Mort. Short for Mortimer. My name's Mort.
Why did Father bring you here?
He hired me at the hiring fair as an apprentice.
He's deaf? You do know that? The Grim Reaper. He's not something you become. He's something you are.
Enter. You haven't heard of the Bay of Mante, have you?
No, sir.
Famous shipwreck there.
There was?
There will be. If I can find the damn place.
You're going to sink a ship?
Certainly not. There'll be a combination of shallow water, a contrary wind, and poor seamanship.
How dreadful. Will there be many drowned?
That's up to fate. There's nothing I can do about her. Have you finished in the stables?
Yes, sir.
And do you know why I sent you there?
Well, I suppose mainly because you're up to your knees in horse shit.
Good. Down-to-earth approach. Very important in a job like ours.
Sir?
Hmm?
People die all the time, don't they? I mean, you must be very busy.
I'm only expected to make an actual appearance on special occasions.
I see.
If you finish the stables, you can go and ask Albert if he's got any jobs he needs doing. Then, if you like, you can come out on the round with me this evening.
Yes, sir.
Have you met my daughter?
Yes, sir.
I think she quite likes having someone of her own age around to talk to.
She does.
And, of course, one day, all this will be hers.
Right.
Yes.
And then...
Oh, never mind.
In a landscape that owed nothing to time and space, Mort spent the afternoon helping Albert plant out broccoli. Black broccoli, but with a tint of purple.
He tries, you see. It's not all black. It's just that when it comes to colour, he has his own natural taste.
Did he make all this?
Yeah. It's not a great job, to tell you the truth. Those mountains are all fuzzy when you get up close.
What did you do it all for?
Do you know what happens to boys who ask too many questions?
No. Should I? What does happen to them? Why do you ask?
Forget it.
He said I could go out with him tonight.
We'd better go and get the horse ready. All right, Binky. All right, boy.
Binky? He's called Binky.
That's right. Oh, get off me here, you daft sod.
Albert, I actually wanted to ask you about this daughter.
Good evening, Albert, boy.
Mort.
Hold the scythe, will you?
Yes, sir.
Whoa, there.
Right, up you come, boy. Don't wait up, Albert.
Very good, sir.
Ah!
In no time at all, they are moving at an easy gallop until wisps of cloud part and the disc lies below, basking in the evening light.
Where are we going?
Well, now, there's a nasty little war in Clachistan. Several outbreaks of plague. But there's a rather important assassination scheduled for tonight.
A murder?
Of a king. The King of Stowe.
Oh, kings. They're always getting killed, aren't they? I wouldn't mind seeing a real king, I suppose.
Your enthusiasm does you credit.
This king, is he a good king or a bad king?
I do not concern myself with such distinctions.
The city of Stowe Lat now slides below them, clustered around a castle built on an outcrop of rock that pokes up out of the plain. Now Binky touches down on the flagstones of the castle's topmost tower.
All right, boy?
Yeah.
You'll find a nose bag for Binky in the saddlebags. Sort it out, would you?
Righto.
They walk down a corridor hung with tapestries. Death reaches into his robe, pulls out an hourglass, and peers closely at it in the dim light. It is a particularly fine one, its glass cut into intricate facets and imprisoned in an ornate framework of wood and brass. The words, King Olav the Bastard, are engraved deeply into it. The sand inside sparkles oddly. There isn't a lot of it left. Death stows the glass away beneath his cloak. They move on. The great hall is crammed with people. Standing under a cloud of smoke and chatter that rises all the way up to the banner-haunted shadows in the roof. No one seems to notice Death's arrival, or Mort's.
We've got a minute or two. Let's mingle.
They can't see me either, but I'm real.
We'll have a couple of those, please.
Sir?
They don't want to see me, they certainly won't want to see you. This is the aristocracy. They're bred not to notice things. Why is there a cherry on a stick in this drink, boy?
Mort.
Doesn't affect the flavour as far as I can see. What is the point of it?
Well, I don't really know.
I'll have one of those little ones. No dip, thank you.
When do we actually, you know, when do we actually...
Take these things now. I mean, mushrooms, yes. Chicken, yes. Cream, by all means. I've nothing against any of them. But why in the name of sanity mince them all up and put them in little pastry cases?
And what are we actually going to, you know, when we actually...
Mortals. Allotted but a brief span upon the earth. And how do they spend it all? In making things complicated for themselves. Weird. Do you want my gherkin?
Which one's the king?
The bloke with the beard and the crown.
Oh, I see him. He doesn't look like a bad king. Why should anyone want to kill him?
See the chap next to him with the little moustache and the grin like a lizard?
Yes.
That's his cousin, the Duke of Stourhadid. Not the nicest person. Handy man with a bottle of poison. He was fifth in line to the throne last year, now he's second. Bit of a social climber, you might say. And his hourglass has plenty of sand left in it.
There's no justice.
No. There's just me. Hold my scythe.
Me? Don't you want it?
Kings get the sword. It's a royal what's name. Prerogative. Now, please, pay attention. You may be asked questions afterwards.
But it's not fair.
Fair? Who said anything about fair?
But you said that other man, the Duke, he's a...
Fair doesn't come into it. When it's time, it's time. That's all there is to it, boy.
Mort.
And then he sees her. A random movement in the crowd opens up a channel between Mort and a slim, red-haired girl seated among a group of older women behind the king. She's a bit on the skinny side and somewhat over-endowed in the freckle department, but she is beautiful.
Right. It's time. Follow me.
Death walks towards the king, sword in hand. Mort begins to follow, but he looks back for a moment at the girl, and Mort sees her eyes widen and her mouth open in a round O of horror. In an instant, without time even to think, Mort hurls himself towards the king.
Look out, your kingness! Look out!
The world turns to treacle. It begins to fill up with blue and purple shadows like a heat-stroke dream. Mort sees Death standing companionably beside the king, looking upwards towards the minstrel's gallery, where the assassin lurks with his crossbow. The crossbow bolt is moving through the air at the speed of a sick snail, but Mort cannot outpace it.
It won't work, you know. It's only natural you should want to try, but it won't work.
As the assassin's bolt strikes, Death swings his sword. It passes cleanly through the king's neck without leaving a mark. It seems to Mort that a ghostly shape has fallen away, leaving the king still standing, looking directly at Death with an expression of extreme surprise.
Who the hell are you?
A good clean job. Royalty can be a problem.
Guards? Guards!
They tend to want to hang on.
What are you doing here?
The average peasant, on the other hand, can't wait.
I demand to... Oh, it's you.
Your Majesty.
Sorry, I didn't expect to see you so soon.
Few do.
So, that's me down there, is it?
I'm afraid so, sir.
Quick work. Crossbow, was it?
Yes, sir.
Who did it?
A hired assassin from Ankh-Morpork, I believe.
Clever. Good for the Duke. No antidote to a crossbow bolt in the gizzard, eh? Who's this young scallywag? He dead too?
My apprentice. Scallywag indeed. He will be disciplined.
That's my daughter. I ought to feel sad. Why don't I?
Emotions get left behind. It's all a matter of glands.
She can't see us, can she?
No.
I suppose there's no chance I could.
No.
Only she'll be queen now. If I could only...
Sorry.
The king is fading, growing smaller and smaller in the air, until he is finally a tiny, brilliant pinpoint. Death catches the glittering mote of light and stows it under his robe. Maud looks down and sees the princess grieving over the body of her father. The Duke of Stow-Helite walks up and lays a comforting hand on her shoulder. A faint smile hovers round his lips.
Don't trust him!
Come along, boy.
Maud!
Maud turns and reluctantly follows Death from the hall.
You cannot interfere with fate. Who are you to judge who should live and who should die?
Sorry, sir.
Only the gods may do that. To tinker with the fate of even one life could destroy the whole world. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. Are you going to send me home?
Because you showed compassion? No. If you had shown pleasure... But you must learn the compassion proper to your trade.
What's that?
A sharp edge. Up you come. Ha!
In Mort by Terry Pratchett, dramatised by Robin Brooks and narrated by Anton Lesser, Mort was played by Carl Prekop, Death by Geoffrey Whitehead, Albert by Philip Jackson, and Isabel by Claire Corbett. Lazek was played by Philip Fox, Hamish by John Glover, and Princess Kelly by Alice Hart. The director was Claire Grove.